There we go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level with David Clark here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, the show will encourage you to keep an open mind and prepare to open the door to new understandings. We will have an exciting array of diverse guests who will point up the fact that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Now your host, David Clark.
Welcome to Different Strokes for Different Folks, where we will indeed be finding common ground and taking it to the max level. I'm your host, David Clark. I'm a spiritual adventurer, and I suggest you become the same. It's my hope that if you keep an open mind, you will come to see that despite our seeming differences, we're all basically the same. When we seek to find common ground, then we can all relate rather than compare ourselves to others. And so that's my hope for all of you. When you let go of the ego state and stay in a place of love and spirit, then we can all get along. There's no need for argument. There's no need for conflict. We have peace, everlasting peace. And that's what I wish for this planet and what I wish for all of you listeners tonight. I have a little situation in that Dre Baldwin has not come into the studio tonight, so I have a special guest, an old friend of mine who I used to babysit for. Her name is Barbara Fendyson, and I call her Barbie, so that's how I'm going to refer to her. Barbie grew up in a household that kept a secret. She grew up in a house where she had an abusive mother who used to beat her and psychologically terrorize her. Now, the abuse statistics for children are incredible. I don't know what they are overall. I was sexually abused as a child, and the abuse statistics for sexual abuse are 25% for boys, 33% for girls, and it is guesstimated that it could be larger than that, because of shame, underreporting, and it's so common for a victim to believe that they were the one that caused the abuse. And so I want to ask Barbie how she felt about that, if she felt like she was the blame.
Well, I do think that I was the blame. My mother made me feel very inadequate, and that I was the blame for most of the problems that within my family.
So self-esteem was a real issue for you.
Yes, it was.
And how has that affected you into your adult years?
Well, I have very low self-esteem, and I have issue problems with that.
Well, I had that situation too, and I've overcome that. And I know Barbie is well on the road to recovery, but for both of us, we developed problems with mental illness as a result of that. And Barbie, if you'd hold the phone, I'd like you to share a little bit about your experience with trauma and how that's manifested as mental illness.
Sure. Because of the abuse that I had when I was a child, I've been diagnosed with PTSD, OCD, and also borderline personality disorder.
Can you explain what PTSD stands for?
PTSD is post-traumatic stress disorder, where I have flashbacks of things that have happened in my past, and that leads to, I have a lot of problems with also depression that leads with that.
So I guess the question would be, how have you learned to cope with that and recover from that?
Well, that's a good question. I have a lot of coping skills, depression being one of my coping skills. I cope by trying to find different things to help me cope with my flashbacks. I take medication. I go to a program right now that I'm dealing with to help me with my PTSD.
Now, I heard you say that depression was one of your coping mechanisms. Do you feel that when you are depressed, you shut down and therefore protect yourself from more severe symptoms?
Yes, I do.
Well, that's an interesting thought. Now, I was diagnosed with a bipolar disorder, and for many years it manifested simply as depression. And I can see where I would just shut down. Now, many of those depressions were very anxious and suicidal depressions, but a lot of them were just dull, places where I would find myself going to this place of numbness, where I would isolate from others and basically shut out the external world. And so I can see where that was a coping mechanism to prevent me from going into anxiety, which manifested in some very agitated depressions that had often would often become suicidal. And it wasn't until I stopped drinking, because I used to drink alcoholically, and I might add that I can safely drink today, so it is possible to recover from alcoholism. And most people in AA would not maintain that to be true, but I've been drinking safely for 11 years. In fact, I'm enjoying a hard root beer right now. I love root beer, and there's nothing wrong with a drink once in a while. I hate to be drunk. But I'm losing the thread. I guess what I was trying to say is that when I stopped medicating myself with alcohol, I had a mania. And that is like a flight of fancy into a world that is filled with delusions. It's very seductive in the beginning. I felt just filled with energy, with creativity, just felt so alive and in touch with my spirit. But that disintegrated as I went into paranoia, complete disorganization, confusion, compulsive spending, compulsive sexuality, and my life just became a total disarray. So mania is not any fun. And I've experienced three of those. And each of those manias happened when I came into recovery from various addictions, because I'd stopped self-medicating. And so I maintain that mental illness is simply a symptom of dis-ease within oneself, and that when you come out of an addiction where you're self-medicating, all of a sudden the feelings become so profound that I didn't know what to do with them. And so I started acting them out in different ways. I would become very angry at people. I would feel very filled with joy at points. But when feelings like sadness came up, I would run. I hated sadness. I hated grief. I did not like anger, but I didn't know how to deal with it appropriately because I was never taught how to deal with anger. I was told I shouldn't feel angry. Can you relate to that, Barbara?
Yes, I can relate to that. My mother would tell me that I shouldn't feel angry and that everything was going to be okay, when I knew that, you know, I had every right to feel angry. And also, I remember one time that I went to one of my therapists, and she told me that I was not, I wasn't responsible for the way my mother felt. And I went back to her and I told her, well, my therapist told me that I wasn't responsible for your feelings, and she had gotten mad at me over something. And instead of being understanding understanding about that, she just called me a haughty little bitch and she hung up on me. So that was my first experience with telling people how I felt.
Mm. Well, that happens a lot. And that's because other people don't want to face their own shit. They don't want to deal with their own feelings. They don't want to take responsibility. And my dog is saying hello to everybody tonight. His name is Shadow. For those of you who don't know, I have a virtual studio that I run out of my home in upstate New York, which is where Barbie and I are from. Thank you. My husband just provided me with cigarettes, which is my last seeming addiction, and I enjoy every single one. Just as a digression, I've had many doctors tell me, oh, you shouldn't do this or that, just like people telling me how I shouldn't feel. Well, I went to this one doctor from India, and I said, Doc, I don't understand. I gave up that addiction for 2 years. I couldn't even stand the smell of cigarette smoke, and I'm doing it again. It's the lesser of a few evils, but I don't get it. He said, David, do not judge it. Enjoy every single cigarette. And when you're ready to quit, if you need help, ask us. We'll help you. Now, I think that's a very spiritual approach, because it's also been said to me that addiction goes away when it's meant to. Everything in its own time and place, everything happens for a reason, and the more we become resistant and try to fight an addiction, the more it perpetuates it. Likewise, with mental illness, the more we struggle with it, the worse it becomes. Wouldn't you agree, Barbie?
Yes, I do agree with that. The more I struggle with my depression, my bipolar, the worse it becomes.
So let's talk a little bit about coming into touch with our feelings. Life is a journey, and to be human is to feel. And I think that the challenge and the realization that I've come to is that it's okay to have feelings, but there are feelings that have positive charges to them, and there are feelings that have negative charges. The feelings that make you feel good, the feelings that make you feel bad. And I think that when feelings are suppressed, it tends to cause a very negative vibration that can exacerbate the situation. And so I'd like to ask Barbie if she's had a similar experience to me. And let me just put the question to you, Barbie. When you have a negatively charged feeling, does that tend to take you down and into depression?
When I have a negative feeling, I tend to try to run from it. The fight or flight kind of takes hold, and I try to avoid confrontation. Is that what you're asking me?
Well, that's part of it. What I've experienced is that, yes, I do try to run from it, what I'm learning is that it's okay to experience anger, sadness, frustration, etc. However, I do not want to stay stuck. I want to go with the flow and coast, because I maintain, as Esther Hicks has said, there's nothing more important than maintaining consistent moments of joy. And the way I do that is I allow the feeling to be experienced. And then what I do is I let it go. I let it go, and I reach for my joy. And I'm never separated from my joy by more than 5 minutes. And that was a real challenge, because I used to be asked how I was doing, and I'd say, okay, or I'm hanging in there, or I might say, good. And that was a beginning, because I was starting to get in touch with my feeling level. And the point is this. Today, I feel awesome. When somebody asks me how I'm doing, I'll say excellent. I'll say awesome. Because I've learned to detach from the shit. I've learned to detach from negativity. I don't allow myself to be taken from consistent moments of joy. And I'd like to ask you if you've experienced anything like that, or what coping mechanisms you use to stay aligned with your joy, your peace, your feelings of self-worth?
Well, I like to, when I start feeling down or feeling down and depressed, I remember some the values that my dad instilled in me, helping people, being good to people, being a good listener, having a sense of humor always helps. And I try to live the life that he wanted me to live. I know helping people, listening to people, and just being a good person helps me when I'm down and depressed.
Well, I think you've brought up an important point, and that is that one needs to get out of oneself in order to avoid being stuck, to being stuck in a place of negativity, to avoid being stuck in a place of depression. It always is more helpful to me when I'm in a place that doesn't feel good to reach out for help, to pick up the phone and call. And sometimes I'll find somebody on the other end of the line that needs help. And when I listen to them, as Barbie was saying, it makes me feel alive. It re-stimulates my interest in my fellow man or woman. And, you know, it's true. There's always somebody that has it worse than yourself. And so when I listen, I develop compassion for that person. And in so doing, I inadvertently begin to develop more compassion for myself. Do you find that happens for you?
Yes, I do. In fact, you've helped me a lot. I mean, even more than I can ever say. I mean, even now, over the past, you know, year, I mean, you and I have reconnected over the past month, and you've helped me more than you'll ever know.
Well, that's what we're in this life to do. I believe we're here to serve our fellow human beings. And to me, to give to another, and the greatest gift that I believe we can give is our presence. Just to listen to somebody. And if they ask for reflection or if they ask for advice, to offer it. Otherwise, only to offer suggestions, because I've been very resistant when people have proffered advice to me. But, you know, it's so true. To get out of oneself can lead to a place where the vibrational level can increase. And this is a spiritual program, and I've taken a spiritual approach to recovery. Now, I've used 12-step programs as one vehicle, but there are many, many tools that I've used. Affirmation is so powerful. Affirmational prayer, for instance, to claim something in the now moment and be specific, this or something better, and to proclaim that it serves the highest good for all, as long as it's not something that hurts somebody else or yourself, and that it's a desire from the heart, it necessarily manifests if you stay the positive course and remain present to the moment and let go whatever your dislike is of a current situation, which can stimulate a desire for something better. We all are entitled to receive something better in this life, and that's all God wants for all of his children. However, a lot of us maintain this victim mentality where we say something like, why am I so poor? Why don't I have a relationship? Why don't I have a good job? Why this? Why that? Or if only I had the perfect relationship, I would be happy. That's a condition. If is the longest word in the dictionary. And that is attaching, that is a form of attachment whereby we're trying to fill ourselves up with something external to make ourselves feel better. And the only thing that can make ourselves feel better is spirit. Wouldn't you agree, Barbie?
I agree, but you also have to be appreciative of what you do have, like with a job or with a place to live, that you do have that job or you do have a place to live.
Well, now she's hit on a key point that I always talk about, and that is gratitude, an attitude of gratitude. And I used to hear about that in AA meetings. Attitude is also a stepping stone, and it's so important to maintain a positive attitude to increase your level of vibration, which can increase your power to manifest. And beyond attitudes, more powerful than attitudes are beliefs or faith. What would you have to say about that?
About faith?
Mm-hmm.
My faith is very important to me. And I'm grateful for everything that I have in my life, my friends, my family. I I treasure our friendship very, very much. I know that God brought you into my life for a reason, and all my friends and family for a reason.
Well, I think that we could talk about the past, but more importantly, we have worked on that through years and years of self-reflection via therapy and other means, and I maintain that it is best to just forgive and forget. And the ultimate person that we need to forgive is ourselves, and then we can forgive our perpetrators, those who have sought to do us no harm. What do you think about that, Barbie?
I think that forgiveness is important. The people that have hurt me, like my mother, my father, not my father, but my mother, my brother, who have passed on, it's too late for me to forgive them. But I do forgive them, and that is important for me because it's important in my recovery that I do forgive the people who have hurt me.
To hold on to a resentment is toxic and only hurts oneself. I wasn't even aware that I held on to resentments. They're poison. Anything like that can make you physically ill. And to me, it's all about maintaining a balance between mind, body, and spirit. And spirit, I believe, is the most important thing that nourishes our body, that actually transforms us and changes our DNA. We can grow biologically younger. We can do past life regressions to heal negative karma, and that changes our DNA, because not only do we carry genetic biological DNA, we carry DNA from previous lifetimes, and that may be an epiphany for some, and some may not believe it. But I'll give you an example of how changing a past life and overcoming karma has helped me in this life. Now, many of you may know that I was a former sex addict. Now, I also want to make it clear that I don't believe addiction is real, that I believe it's simply a symptom of distress or dis-ease within oneself that manifests as something called a disease, and yet many people don't even believe that sexual addiction is real, that it is a disease like alcoholism. Where I'm going with this is that, I've lost the thread, and I see my friend Diana McClinic in the studio. And just to let people know, Diana is an angel reader. She's very psychic, and she is going to be on the show this month. She is going to be on the show, let me see when, next week, October 18th, and it's going to be her first time on the show. I'm so looking forward to it. She's a loyal follower, and I'm going to call on her in a while. But I guess what I want to say is the spiritual journey is what nourishes me. Oh, I was going to tell you about the past life regression. Yes, I was a former sex addict. And I had something called multi-life therapy done on me by a famous psychic by the name of Mary Blake, who also is coming up again on my show later this year. Actually, she's going to be on my show on the 12th. So she's coming up soon. She's a marvelous healer. She's a marvelous psychic, and she does multi-life therapy, which she did with me. And as a result of that, I learned how to do past life regression. But
you have life regression with me too.
Go ahead.
You've done life regression with me too, and it was remarkable.
Well, I've done it with many people, but what happened to me when it was done with me is that one of the lifetimes I was taken to was a lifetime where I had been a prostitute. And the way that had happened, my name was Elizabeth. I'd lived in 18th century England, and I'd been the victim of a vicious rape. And Mary took me back in time to the point in time before the rape occurred. And what she did was that she, spirit through her, connected with spirit in me and directed me to a place where I would escape victimization. And instead of having previously left the town in shame because people shunned me and blamed me for my rape. And I ran away to London and did the only thing I knew how to do, which was to prostitute myself and feed my shame. When she rewrote history in that lifetime, I had a quote-unquote normal life, happy life, married, had children, and died surrounded by my family and my grandchildren. And after that, almost immediately, I was released from sexual addiction, from which I'd been supremely challenged through years of 12-step recovery that I couldn't quite grasp onto, this concept of letting go, of surrendering. And I understand it today. It was never thoroughly explained to me. It's all about going with the flow. It's about letting go of attachment to external conditions or to end results. It's about believing in myself. It's about affirming that I can do anything. It's about saying, not saying that I will try, it's about taking action and doing. It is simply about letting go of the past and staying present to the moment. There's so many ways to describe it. I'm going to ask you, Barbie, what do you think about being conscious and awake to the moment and what a difference it makes to be present and not dwell on the past or worry about the future? Hold it.
I think being present in the moment is a good place to be. Therefore, you don't have to worry about the past. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen in the future. You just live for the moment and be glad that your life is the way it is, and you're grateful for every minute.
There it is again, gratitude. Gratitude is the gateway to abundance. The more I count my individual blessings, the better my life becomes. It is a seeming paradox. Well, it is a paradox. It's a seeming irony, which is a paradox. And that is, the more I put out into the universe, be it gratitude, be it money substance to other people who are in need, be it helping and being of service to others, the more positive things that flow toward me, including all of those things that I've given out. You know, it's said that what you put out, you'll receive tenfold or more. It could be 100-fold, it could be 1,000-fold, it could be 1,000,000-fold. The universes, the universal mind of God, Goddess, nature, whatever you proclaim to be your higher power or your higher self will bless you abundantly if you but believe that you are worthy. Affirm, as a child of God, I am worthy of all good things. And prosperity comes in many forms, and a lot of people mistake that just to mean money. Money can be the root of all evils, but it can also be a virtue because we need money substance, unfortunately, in this life due to greed and people that would take advantage of us if we allow it. We need money to pay for our basic necessities, and we need money to pay for the niceties of life of which we're all entitled. And we can get there if we believe. Anybody can become a millionaire, and I'm on the road to that. And I'd like to ask you, Barbie, what changes have happened in your life as you started to focus more on spirit and being of service to others?
Well, I know a lot of changes have happened in my life presently because of you. I'm going to a program now that's helping me, and I know that spiritually I feel better about myself, and I have a wonderful apartment, and I have wonderful friends, and I have a gorgeous apartment because of you, and I'm grateful, and I know that that God brought you into my life for a reason, and I'm so very, very grateful. Thank you.
Would you say that the gratitude is opening new doors for you?
Gratitude is opening a lot of doors that I didn't even know existed. I now have a new place to live. I have new friends. I have things that I can't even imagine coming my way, and I don't even know what's going to be happening next, but I'm really, really excited, and I can't imagine what's coming, but I look forward to every day.
And how have your past issues gotten better? How have your so-called psychiatric conditions improved?
I'm not as depressed during the day. I find more things to do during the day. I'm more active. I find helping people, I find myself even wanting to help people. I go out of my way to find things to do to help people. My whole outlook has gotten better.
Do you find more joy and enthusiasm in your life? And if so, how is that affecting your life?
Like I said, my life is happier, and I feel a lot better about everything. So I'm truly, truly happy.
Okay, so we've talked about attitude of gratitude. We've talked about joy. We've talked about positive vibration. We've, in essence, talked about the law of attraction. And I'd like to go to the switchboard and talk to Diana McClenic, because she is a true believer in being able to manifest whatever one desires. And she's led an amazing life, and I'd like to hear a little bit of her story. Diana, you're live on the air. How are you tonight?
Hi, David.
Hi there. We had kind of a surprise shift tonight, and it just so happens that my friend Barbie was visiting, and I said, you know what? My guest has not shown up, who is supposed to be a pro basketball player named Ray Baldwin. And this is the second time this week has happened to me, and it's only happened to me twice before in 2 years. So something's going on, and I truly believe everything happens for a reason, and that perhaps we had another message that needed to get out tonight. But what can you do to reflect upon some of the statements we've made, and how can you take this to the max level?
Well, I think the shifts that we're having are affecting people and basketball players, too, because when I lived in Indianapolis, I just want to start off with this. This is a sweet story. This was spirit speaking to me. If I were in Indianapolis and I did not say, hey, you're a basketball player, to a basketball player, they'd be offended. But a basketball player would buy your coffee if you were in the same line they were on. I was in a bank in Sacramento with a basketball player, and because I knew he was a basketball player, he gave everybody in the bank his autograph. And so I saw a tall black guy that looked like a basketball player, but I don't know the basketball players because I'm older now and I'm not keeping up with all that stuff. So I was getting a cup of coffee, and I just looked at him and said, you can buy my coffee for me. And he said, no. And I said, aren't you a basketball player? He said, yes, but I'm not playing right now. And I said, well, in Indiana, if you recognize a basketball player, they'd be offended if you didn't let them buy your coffee.
I love your sense of humor. Well, let's talk a little bit about humor and how that helps.
Yeah, well, let me tell you then. Later on in the afternoon, I went across the street to get tea at Arby's. I'm trying out this laptop that somebody sent me that's almost dead. I'm trying to bring it back to life so I can use it. So I'm going to places that have free Wi-Fi. So I went to Arby's for tea. The person was behind me, told the guy at Arby's, I'm buying this lady dinner tonight. So he made me tea.
Love it.
So I bought food. And so this was because the person had denied me at McDonald's across the street at Arby's. I was bought a whole meal, not just a cup of coffee. So the universe speaks to me, and that's what, when I went out and lived on the road for 2.2 years, and that was all about forgiving my family and not being a victim anymore and that kind of stuff, and letting go, letting go, letting go, letting go. And of course, to be in Sedona for 11-11, that was my first stop. When I did all of that, that brought me to the point where I could finally join in with Esther and the higher vibrations. So I am all about higher vibrations now, and sometimes just people don't like it because when you call in, they want to be better than you. So, and I was warned about this. There's a really good psychic named Muggsy who's also a naturopathic doctor, but she's not doing shows right now. But she had told me this was going to happen to you in a year or two in Block Talk Radio. They're going to see your light, and then they're going to try to smash your light. So just, I just don't want you to let them. Because, and that's basically what's been happening, but I can, my angels will put up a stop sign if I'm not supposed to listen to somebody and not even let them in my field. Which I just
there
really,
you go.
I get
there
humor
you go.
Out of that. I have a humor guide system. Angels, my guide, everybody's done things in a funny way. Well, I guess I'm kind of humorous myself. But I do believe in higher vibrations, and that's definitely with gratitude. Even if I don't feel like it in the morning. It's a gratitude first thing.
Right.
So that's...
Well, I know you to be a very positive person, and I trust that's attracted a lot of positive experiences to you, like the free meal at Arby's. I mean, that's prosperity. And, you know, I'd hate to think what's going to happen to that person that denied you, because what goes around comes around in the form of lessons. And perhaps that person will someday be hungry and homeless and whatever and be offered a lesson and humility, which we all do need to remain humble. But that's neither here nor there. I guess I wanted to focus on a few things now that we're taking it to a higher level. And I thank Barbie very much for sharing her experience, strength, and hope, because I have seen her blossom just in the course of a month. And I have seen her in a place of joy. And very nervous tonight, you know, and so that's not coming through, that her true spirit is not being reflected, but she is so joyful, she is so grateful, she is a woman of such faith, and I think that that is so important. I don't just think, I believe it's so important in order to attract positive experiences, blessings, and she has testified to the fact that blessings are coming her way, and I'm just a conduit that's been able to help her out. And I do that because I believe in tithing to people in need and not to greedy churches.
Yeah, me too. But saying things like you're saying right now, those are the kind of things that would get me in trouble back in my homeland. You can't. Because you are supposed to give 10% to the church. But, you know, the same thing. People think that you give, because they're all into this only give what is a tax deduction. So they give to these people who claim that they are giving someone with breast cancer a car. The money that they're giving is paying for these nice offices and all of their computers and their air conditioning and stuff. And maybe every 6 months, one person will win a car. Why not just go out and find the person who's lost their ability to work and has no more health insurance and can't pay for their treatments, and so they've lost their car because they couldn't pay for it. Why not go out and find the person and give them a car? The reason why is it's not tax deductible. Now, if people would just let go of I can only do what's tax deductible, like I've got to give all my extra good clothes to the Goodwill because they give me this nice thing for a tax write-off, why don't you just find somebody who's cold and give them your nice winter clothes that you don't need because you buy too much because you're a shopaholic?
Absolutely. I'd like to comment on that, and then Barbie wanted to say something. You know, tax deductions be damned. You know, they're wonderful, but most of the people that benefit from them are the rich. And for the rest of us that may not have things to deduct and get taxed through the wazoo proportionally, we are the ones that are being taxed, not the rich who have all the loopholes. But what I have found is what I put out into the universe, be it a money substance or whatever, to people in need, comes back to me, and I don't need the tax write-off. I am prosperous because I tithe to where I'm spiritually fed, and I am spiritually fed by people that are grateful, that need a leg up, that are willing to help themselves. And I don't like even giving clothes to the Rescue Mission or Salvation Army because they charge for it. I like to give it to people for free. Now, Barbie wants to say something, and then we'll come back to you, Diana.
I just want to say that I'm grateful for David, and I know that that God brought him into my life for a reason, and that he is the most generous person. He's helped myself and my husband out immensely, and that I'm truly grateful to him and everything, and that when I am in a position to help other people, that I will do the same thing for anyone else that's in need. And I just wanted to give my grateful thanks to David. He's an awesome person. Thank you, David, for being in my life.
You are entirely welcome, but as I've reminded you before, I'm just an instrument of God, and it's really God that's blessing you, because I feel moved and compelled to help people that I have discerned to be worthy. It's not to say that we aren't all worthy, but there are a lot of users in this world. There are a lot of gimme, gimme, gimme people who remain victims, who are unwilling to help themselves, and I've learned to detach from helping people like that who've used me in the past. And you're not a user. You are somebody who is trying to get a leg up in this world and who experiences gratitude and is willing to pay it forward and pass it on when you're able to, and I know you will. So coming back to you, Diana, what would you like to say?
Well, I'll just say a little bit more of that. It's a hard lesson. When I was still working as a registered nurse, I was doing okay. I was taking care of my mother and my children, so I was just doing okay. I wasn't able to say. So I was doing service to people and getting paid for doing service to people, but I did extra stuff. I brought angels to work. We did healings, all kinds of stuff. But then as I went on the road after my mother died and my whole thing was forgiving everyone and not blaming people for my life and not being the victim and learning to let go and learning to think right and all that, back in 2011, I'm much farther than that now. I've actually done my work like Barbie has. Andrew Keith, who's a psychic medium, he's internationally known. He's read for the stars and stuff like that. But he is very good. I mean, you could call him, and he'll just go, yes, yes, no. Don't even think about number five. They said that's a can of worms. You don't even have to ask your questions with him, in other words. He told me, because I had such a hard time when I was on the road, not the 2011 time before that, I was still trying to maybe do one more nursing job, but I was visiting a friend in northern Idaho. And he told me that Spirit has laid something on me very, very hard, that I'm teaching service. And I said, well, I've always been doing that as a nurse. He said, no, you're teaching service because you need help and you need to get people who don't serve people to do something. So I had to learn to ask. To learn to ask for help. And do you know,
yes,
I feel Spirit move when I help,
yes,
a person do service. I feel Spirit move just like when you're getting confirmation that somebody said the right thing from Spirit. So that's something, and I'm still learning that. And I'll be very glad when I'm finished learning that so I can continue on with the higher vibrations and match my vibrations and, you know, bring in my good so I can do my teaching and learning. But I'm doing a whole lot now with everything that I learned while I was out living on the road. I'm doing a lot of just walking out of myself and then back into my new self. And walk out of myself, back into myself.
You've brought up an important point. The point that you brought up, you've brought up several, but what I wanted to hone in on is the fact that life is filled with lessons. And it's said that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear, but I ask, who's the student and who's the teacher? I learn from everybody, and I soak it up like a sponge. And life is filled with lessons. I mean, we have been taught in the Judeo Christian tradition in sin, the concept of sin. And in Aramaic, it simply means missing the mark. So if we fail at something or don't achieve something that we desire, rather, that might be a more positive way to frame it, we're given a lesson that we can choose to learn from. And if we don't learn the lesson, history repeats itself and it returns to us sometimes in a more challenging form. And until we learn the lesson, we don't get to move on. But once we've moved on, then we are, I truly believe, responsible not only to ourselves but to others to teach them to do these things, to be of service, to teach them how to increase their level of vibration if they're open to it. And that's what the show is all about. It's about being present for people who are willing to open their minds and accept the truth that there is a better way to live, that there is a way to nourish oneself, and that comes from spirit. What would you say about that?
Yeah, oh, of course. If I don't learn my lesson, then that will be the rest of my life. I'll be what rich people call needy. I'll be asking somebody for something so they can learn service. Now that I know I'm doing this out of request, because people have to learn this to raise their vibrations, people have not been doing it. So they have to learn it to raise their vibrations. So they're actually using light workers to help other people learn service. So I needed a computer. And until I could ask for one, two got stolen, two blew up. I gave two away because I thought I had enough. So I lost six computers, bang, bang, bang. Finally, I was able to ask, does anybody have a computer? I've gone without a computer for 2 years. I can't stand it. And somebody saw me asking on Facebook and sent me a computer. Now, it is one that has impact. It's requiring a lot of work to bring it back to life. But somebody did, out of the goodness of their heart, that does not know me, sent me a computer. Now, that's a start. My manifestation was, I want 49 computers because I want to send people like me a computer.
Well, you know, that's another important lesson or an epiphany, because you talked about the importance of reaching out for help, and that can manifest in so many different ways. And that's an act of self-worth, a sign of courage, and God blesses those who help themselves. Wouldn't you agree?
I guess. It almost feels like begging, because people, while I was on the road, I could have had help to keep my registered nurse license current was very expensive. And people could have helped me because nurses were needed. Well, I got the attitude, well, you know what? If somebody says, how come you're not working? Well, I'm about $630 from even being able to fill out an application. And people, oh, so sorry, so sad, too bad. That was everybody's attitude. But the people that we say are mind-controlled, the Christians, they're the ones who would feed you and who would give you clothes and who would give you showers and a place to sleep as you were traveling about I traveled all over California and all over Arizona, and from Florida to Indianapolis and across 40. As you were traveling, there are churches everywhere that help you. And they know the next one down the line. So I'm not saying, I'm not listening to any of that talk that people talk about churches anymore, because everybody's here for a reason. Those people are going to their heaven because they believe in heaven, so they're going to go to their heaven, and they believe in helping people. I don't believe in the way that they hung Jesus on a cross or whatever. I don't believe in some of the things they teach, but they take care of homeless people, and there's a lot of homeless people, and it's the churches that do that. Now, you may find groups that will go out, but it's not churches. Meetups and
right.
stuff, they'll just go out, give away blankets. And that is really helpful, because when it gets cold, you need a wool blanket. So I learned a lot about what people do. And the shelter thing, you know, if you called into a psychic show, they would, oh, go to a shelter, go to a shelter. You go to a shelter, you get sick and you get scabies. It's more important to find a safe place to park. And
well, you know,
from the people.
What you're saying lends some real faith to me and my fellow human beings, because there are a lot of churches that do not extend themselves in that way, that do not open themselves to the community, that do not give back, that are insular and, you know, are all about themselves. And unfortunately, I belong to one of those that they, while they did tithe a very small percentage to people in need, they did not have a food pantry or a clothes closet or anything like that. And if somebody had shown up on their doorstep and had asked for shelter, they would have been turned away. So, you know, I think it's wonderful when people practice what they preach and walk the walk the talk,
yeah,
and live by the power of example. And for those that are Christian, that follow the teachings of Jesus, because he had faith that his needs would be taken care of. He led a life of giving up his possessions and having faith that his needs would be taken care of, as God always takes care of our needs, not always our wants, because when wants come from an ego state or a state that are not going to be a benefit to others, then we get lessons. We get lessons, more lessons,
mm-hmm,
right?
So, I didn't
thank
like
you.
The lesson part.
No, I didn't like them either. But now I embrace them as blessings because
yes,
I learned the lessons and I've graduated in a sense to another level and I'm moving forward in my life. I'm no longer dwelling on past mistakes. I'm no longer holding on to regrets or resentments. I'm moving forward. I'm forgiving and forgetting and living from a place of light and love, you know? And it makes all the difference in the world. What do you think?
Exactly. I mean, that's, you're moving forward. And that's, you're one of the first graduates. Did you know that the 28th, the day that people thought was another end of the world day, was actually the graduation of the first group of light workers who are now teachers. You're still learning because it's teaching and learning go together, but you're a counselor. So you have graduated as a light worker. You're not just a teaching and learning person. You're a teaching, learning, and counselor now.
Yes,
and
I
the
am.
Next group of light workers are the people that were waking up and teaching and learning, and they will
mm-hmm.
become a counselor. And I don't know when that next graduation is because I haven't talked to that person.
Well, it's happening more and more. Our consciousness is expanding exponentially. And I've heard it said that all it takes is the consciousness of one person to become totally illuminated that can illuminate the consciousness of us all. I've heard another man who said all it takes is 7,000 people who live in a place of true peace to achieve world peace. And I believe those things are true. Now, those are extreme examples that a lot of people might not be able to embrace. But as faith increases, as consciousness and leads to more and more illumination, there are a lot of light workers who talk the talk and don't walk the walk. And unfortunately, you know, they may have the best intentions, but the road to so-called hell is paved with the best intentions. We need to practice what we preach.
Well, they are learning. It's just was hard
because
they thought.
Oh, yes, they are. I'm not disparaging them. I'm just saying we need to take everything with a grain of salt and be discerning,
yeah,
you know, and.
But they thought it was black. They thought service was black. Somebody taught somebody along the line that service was black thinking. So then they all went around teaching everybody, you're just lack thinking. You can't go help a person. You're doing too much lack thinking. You're lack. You know, and it's like I never even thought that way to begin with. I didn't understand why helping a person someone who had fallen down that just needed picked up. That would
right.
just like snuff their nose and say, oh, they're that way. They've been lactating.
Right.
So they,
well,
I,
you know, that again comes from
that
comes from victim mentality and poverty consciousness. And we're coming up to the end of the hour. Diana, would
okay.
you tell us about the show that you're going to be doing on October 18th, what people can hope to realize and benefit from?
Well, I'll be reading the Archangels, so I hope that you can realize there's a higher vibration to everything. I ask that people just allow the angels to come to them and just get their message. I don't. It's not a night of ask because I don't have tarot cards, so I can't tell you your love life and all that stuff. I want to give you a positive high vibration, but sometimes I find out that other things are coming through now, which I think is great. I thought I was going to need to buy 5 or 6 more decks for that to happen, but it seems like with just this one Archangel deck, they do really good. And if I get the urge to draw some shadow-like cards, I will do that too, because I have the archetype deck that tells you if you're still in the shadow what it feels like and what you have to do to get to the light. So it's a pretty powerful reading, but the person that calls in has to be open. They can't just say, you know, is my boyfriend coming back, or am I going to get that second job, or, you know, if that's a difference. But they can also come in and just not ask a question, and a card may come up that tells them they're a leader and how to be a leader. So they know, well, then I'm going to get the best job possible. So I don't have to even ask her. So,
well, in other
you know,
words,
don't be afraid to come in.
It's probably better for a person to just come into it open and say, what do the angels have to say to me, perhaps?
Yeah, and I want everybody to ground good, and we might do a little bit of clearing and grounding, and then invite the energies to come, and then go for it and see. Because some of these
energies
have been
watching. Unless there's an opportunity for me that day, which I would take if there were not sufficient callers, and I trust there will be, what do the angels have to say to me today?
Today to you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that, David, that you're probably open to all possibilities and that miracles occur every day, and that
yes.
you're probably even creating a new path before you even get to this new path that you created. So you probably don't even know everything that you're creating, because I can see the new path. One new path leads to another path.
It's like when you cast a stone upon still waters, the ripples reach other shores that you're never even aware of. And it's just amazing the way it happens. And, you know, with that said, I want to thank you for your participation. And I would really like to thank my friend Barbie for being present today and being brave enough to Johnny on the spot share some of her experience, strength, and hope. So, Barbie, thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. Anytime.
Bye,
and Diana, thank you. Thank you, as always.
I'm on the 18th, Barbie. Let's see what the angels want to say.
Barbie, you want to call in and hear what the angels have to say to you on the 18th?
I definitely do. Thank you so much. I will.
Yay! Tell your friends.
All right.
Okay.
And maybe even my husband, Robbie, will call in. Robbie, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Okay.
How are you?
Hi, Robbie.
Hi.
I didn't know you were listening.
Yep, I'm here in the
yes.
studio. I'm here in the studio.
Okay. Oh, cool.
I'm the producer.
Well, then I will have cards ready for David and for Robbie on that night also, and you don't have to wait until the end of the show.
All right. Well, thank you.
Well, Diana, thank you. And I will not partake myself that night because I trust we're going to have a lot of callers. But because Robbie and Barbie have been such dedicated fans and have participated tonight, I'm going to call on them first.
You have good fans. You know that?
I do have good fans. And you are one of the best. And I thank you so much for tuning in and contributing to our discussion tonight. We have indeed taken it to another level. And so God bless.
bless you, all of you.
Thank you. So once again, we come to a close. Now we can pause and reflect upon the idea that we are all united through the diverse tapestry of our individual gifts. There is no real thing of separation except in our own minds. We are each unique expressions of the ultimate source of our beings. We are spiritual beings having a human experience who can and will have a spiritual experience if we allow it to be. Have a great week, and remember, whatever you dream, you can realize.
You have been listening to Different Strokes for Different Folks. To find common ground and take it to the next level, here on Blog Talk Radio with David Clark, every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to this broadcast again on srbroadcasting.com.
And Diana, I'm going to be reaching out to you tomorrow. And for those of you who don't know, I'm now broadcasting 4 days a week on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, and Fridays, all at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And my shows are also archived on my network, freespiritbroadcasting.com. Good night and God bless.